You're listening to the Freedom Lifestyle Podcast Series, a series that is so much more than just a podcast series. This is about liberating your life through flexible work and taking the lifestyle you know you deserve. It's about living intentionally, sometimes alternatively, but always free. The Freedom Lifestyle is a movement that will empower you to take action. I'm sharing relatable stories of freedom seekers who ditched conventional office life and courageously asked for more. Together, we're going to find out how they did it, why they did it, and the impact it's had on their life. As for me, well, I'm your host, Sam. I've turned multiple side hustles into one sustainable life that allows me to work from anywhere. The freedom lifestyle looks different for everyone. What's your free? You're listening to episode 50 of the Freedom Lifestyle Podcast. Episode 50. It's such a milestone episode for me. I can't believe I've now had 50 podcast episodes. This milestone, it honestly caught me off guard. It was only a couple weeks ago that I was literally typing 4-8 when uploading the latest podcast episode, and I realized, holy shit, I'm about to hit number 50. I better break the script and do something cool and different to celebrate. So in the span of like a week, I found 7 freedom seekers who had previously appeared on either seasons 1, 2, or 3 of the podcast, who had all experienced quite massive change to their freedom lifestyle since they were first on the show. In this episode, you basically get to be a fly on the wall of a catch-up conversation with a freedom seeker that I wanted to have anyway. It was so nice to reconnect with this group of people. Each update is less than 7 minutes, so sit back and hear some of the highs and lows of the last few years. You're going to learn about businesses ending, pivoting, and even being sold. You'll hear how COVID-19 and the Black Lives Matter movement has significantly impacted some of their businesses. One freedom seeker moved across the country and quickly learned the difference between East Coast versus West Coast business etiquette. And some of them have even paused their freedom lifestyle entirely and pursued a full-time 9-to-5. These updates are super interesting, and I think you're going to love it. It was very difficult deciding in which order these 7 interviews should appear in the episode. And so if you follow me on Instagram, you probably saw yesterday I randomly pulled from a box all of their names to make it super, super fair. My ask is that you tune into the whole thing and give each of these freedom seekers a turn with the mic. Here we go. First up is Rachel Kelly, the founder of Make Lemonade, a co-working space located in downtown Toronto, Canada. Rachel appeared on season 2 of the show. Her episode was number 7, and it was all about her story of turning a professional setback into an entrepreneurial opportunity. This one knows how to make lemonade, and guess what? She recently had an entirely new lemon to deal with. Let's hear it. Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Sam.
How's it going?
Oh, you know, just making lemonade over here.
I can imagine. It's been over 2 years since our interview.
Yeah, that's crazy. I was really reflecting on the first time we did that. I think that was one of the very first podcasts I ever recorded. And just really reflecting on, I don't even know what I said. And I've learned so much since then.
I've even learned so much since then. I was listening to the same episode back today to kind of think about how I wanted this conversation to go. And even just the sound effects I used in it, that was when I first started adding sound effects, but I didn't know back then to turn them down. So in our episode, it's so good, but there's like this piercing like ding throughout it.
I remember the ding.
Yeah. So now the ding has reduced the volume, but the ding is still there. I think your business was one of those, you know, classic examples that we read about so much of the last couple months of how quickly you've had to innovate and shift because of the latest lemon in your life, which is, you know, a global lemon of COVID-19. How has that been the last couple months, if you could sum it up in one word?
One word? Oh my gosh. Big ass lemon.
How quickly did you realize that this was going to impact your business?
So I would say it was about like over the course of 1 week that happened. We closed our offices on March 16th, but that week kind of leading up to it, I just noticed the office was getting quieter and quieter every single day. It was kind of like the Monday prior to us closing. It was a regular day. We've been in business for just over 2.5 years and things were really bustling. Like we were on our way, on the right track. And then over the course of 1 week, it just got quieter and quieter and quieter. The weekend happened. I went to bed that Sunday night and I just knew. I knew we were going to have to close the next day. And I had no idea how long that was going to be for or what that was going to look like. But I knew that the right decision was going to be for us to close our physical space.
And what did that feel like? Were you worried for the business at that time?
I really felt, honestly, I felt defeated because at that point, in that moment in time, I really didn't know what the next step was going to be. I had been hearing from other people, you know, like there's an opportunity in this, there's an opportunity for everything. But sometimes when you're feeling just completely overwhelmed and you just don't know, like it's really hard to see beyond that. So thankfully I have an awesome team member. Her name is Ashley. And that day though, before we decided to close, I said, hey, you know, you can go home if you want to. And she said, no, we're not going to go home until we have a bit of a plan. And so we kind of band-aid together a plan for like, we're going to do these free virtual co-working calls for a week. Like we just figured it would be a week and then we'd be back to normal. But yeah, in that initial moment, I really felt like I don't even know what the right next thing to do is, but I felt very defeated.
I want to go back to the word that you said around everyone was mentioning this was an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Where do you feel now? Because on the outside, I know I saw all these virtual co-working events you were doing. I saw you launched a virtual membership. I saw my friends from Sudbury, actually, a couple entrepreneurs I knew from my hometown were on the call. So I thought maybe this is a great opportunity for her. She's able to reach new customers. Was it as an opportunity as people were saying what it looked like?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is now, that's for sure. And part of our virtual membership is we have people from across Canada, almost every single province and territory, not exactly there yet, but we have people who are part of the community that we never would have reached otherwise. And it's also just forced us to see beyond our physical four walls of what else we could offer. Because reality is when you are running a brick and mortar office and you can no longer have people come in and see you, you have to get pretty creative. And I mean, it was very inspiring to see how yoga studios could operate and gyms and grocery stores and bookstores. And thank goodness we have the internet is all I can say.
No kidding. And your doors are back open now. What's the vibe like at Make Lemonade these days?
Yeah. So we reopened after 3 months of being closed. The vibe, it's interesting. The vibe is still the same, if you will. It still has all of our typical Make Lemonade ingredients. You know, we have awesome music. We make you feel super welcome. It's just now there's a lot of arrows on the ground and we have these cute little placemats on each of the workstations of this is where you can work, where the hand sanitizer is, please wash your station, you know, after this amount of time, only one person in the kitchen or the washroom. You know, we've followed all of the regulations of what is supposed to happen. There's a limit of only 10 people in the office at this point in time right now. But we still do everything we can do to still bring that Make Lemonade magic there.
I'm sure. I've seen the photos. It looks amazing. And I'm sure it feels really good to have your members back in the space again and for it to feel like it's slowly going back to normal. Mm-hmm. Do you think it'll ever go back to that normal? Or do you envision your business now being forever changed in terms of what it looks like in the office as well as what you offer online?
Yeah, it's forced us to really think about our business differently and how to put on that security belt when things happen. The virtual membership and any virtual offerings that we've created during this time are all here to stay. I'm not exactly sure what the future looks like until we have a vaccine, but I mean, people are either working from home or they're not. So co-working is still an option for people that they can come and, you know, join our physical space if they're looking for a safe way to connect with people in real life too.
The one other thing I wanted to ask you about is in our last interview, I asked you what your goals were, and this was 2 years ago, and you said your goal was to be financially stable so that you can stop eating cereal and take yourself to Paris.
Oh my God.
What do you want to say to that?
That's really, really funny that I said that considering the current climate we're in right now. But I will give you an update that I did go to Paris. I took myself on a trip last year. I don't think I ate cereal that entire trip. I just lived off of croissants and foie gras. No, I mean, I eat cereal when I want by choice, not by necessity.
Next, we have Jasmine Williams, who appeared in episode 29, which was all about how to freelance your way to freedom. At the time of our interview, Jasmine had just taken the leap away from her 9-to-5 and started freelancing as a social media and copyright consultant. Very recently, Jasmine had a viral moment that changed her business, maybe forever. Here we go. Jasmine, welcome back to the podcast.
Yes, it's so good to be back.
Our interview was January 2019, so like a year and a half ago. The episode was about how you can actually freelance your freedom. So when we were talking originally, you were really identifying as a freelancer, talking about going from a full-time job to more contract work. Do you still identify as a freelancer? Or how are you thinking about that identity right now?
Yeah, that's a really good question because I feel like I still get a lot of questions from people who are looking to start freelancing. I am in that kind of growth phase and really trying to think about what's next. So I do see myself transitioning into more of like an agency model in the near future. But for now, I'm pretty comfortable with freelancer, but I do usually say that I'm a consultant or a small business owner.
Yeah, I still identify as freelancer too. Like at the end of the day, we're self-employed. It's just more how you structure it. You mentioned agency. Does that mean you'd be looking to take on people to work for you, or would it be more like strategic partnerships where someone owns one part of the business and you own the other part?
Yeah, it'd be more like bringing on people to help me because I've definitely come at this point now, like 2 years in, the demand for my services keeps increasing, which is amazing. There's just only so much I can do on my own. And I would still like to be able to service people and not have to have a waiting list that goes on for months and months. So that would essentially mean I'd have to bring on some help. Basically, if people are working with my company, they'd know that everything goes through me, but it might not be me doing all of the creative work.
That makes sense. So you're at a point where you have a waiting list, or do you straight up turn business away sometimes because you're like, I just can't take this on?
Right now, I do have a waiting list, which is really cool. Usually I've always had maybe a few spots left in my calendar for the month, but right now I'm booking into August, pretty much a full month ahead. So yeah, I'm just kind of riding the wave and seeing where it all goes.
That's very exciting. Yeah. And I saw on Twitter, you tweeted about this, about how your calendar was full. And you mentioned that it was because you went on stories and you talked about race, which I think I know the video you're talking about. It was an IGTV, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely been such a weird roller coaster of a time. But basically, a few weeks ago, like shortly after George Floyd's death and everything was kind of happening, I just felt compelled to say something about it because I was seeing a lot of my like other Black women who were in the field who were speaking up and just speaking their mind. I felt like I had to go on stories and just say something. So I recorded a very short series of Instagram stories where I was talking mainly about diversity and inclusion because I could feel like as people were kind of, you know, rushing to get involved and kind of show up as an ally, I could see people taking the wrong move. Like I was seeing a lot of like, hey, tell me all the Black people you know, or like, I want to get some new Black people on my podcast. I felt like I just wasn't going far enough personally. I could see a future where people would do that while, you know, I guess it was trendy. And then I was wondering if it would actually lead to any kind of long-term sustainable change. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about, is just share my thoughts and feelings about diversity and inclusion, really encourage people to think of it more as like a mindset change versus just like, oh, let's check some boxes and away we go. So yeah, I literally like walked over to Trinity Bellwoods Park one morning, sat down by a tree, recorded the stories, and then walked back to my house, not thinking much of it. But then as I posted the stories, I got a couple of DMs from friends who were like, this is great. I love this so much. You should turn this into an IGTV video. And I was like, sure, I guess, maybe. And then like I found at some time later in the day to sort of stitch it all together on my phone really quickly and then put it onto IGTV. And then from there, it just really, really blew up. Like a couple of key influencers in like the marketing space, like Amy Porterfield, Gabby Bernstein posted it in her stories, getting those people with like hundreds of thousands of followers to basically amplify the video just took it to a whole new level that I did not expect. And then, yeah, the outcome of that, I gained like thousands of followers overnight, which is super cool, but also very overwhelming. And then, yeah, I also got a lot of new leads and inquiries in my business, which is now why I'm booked out basically. So it is really weird to think after, you know, being in business for 2 years and grinding away, how this short off the cuff video that I posted, not thinking much of it, literally transformed my business. But here we are, I guess.
Wow. What a ride. Literally, yeah. You went viral.
Yeah. Basically, yeah, I went viral.
That's pretty cool. Well, yeah, I mean, we'd all want it to be under different circumstances. And I also saw you noted in your post that, okay, it wasn't just because of doing this. It's actually years of building a website that converted and knowing your niche and building up the skills and having the testimonials and all the stuff you did to when you went viral to have enough people be like, I trust her. I want to work with her. You really just got more exposure. So I like that you also mentioned it wasn't just, you know, by chance kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, like the video going viral, absolutely could not have predicted that. But yeah, actually turning that into real results that have led to real impact in my business could not have come without all the years that I've spent refining my processes and really figuring out who I'm best suited for, really. It is a horrible time and a weird time, but I think kind of everything happened at a time that I was at least able to, I guess, do something with the exposure. So yeah, you know, overall, I'm, like you said, the circumstances wish they were better, but if it's putting me on other people's radar, like I know that I have the skills and abilities to work with some of the people that I'm working with now. It just kind of took a little bit of a boost.
Has your definition of freedom changed at all since we last chatted?
Yeah. Like basically right after that video went viral, I took a vacation, which I'd already planned to take. But it was the first vacation I took that was like a real proper vacation since starting my business. Like no laptop, no checking email, you know, pretending like I'm kind of not working, but I really am. Like I fully unplugged. And that was just like a major reset for me and made me realize like, okay, I need to stop doing this like half work, half living kind of thing where I'm like, yeah, I have the flexibility and freedom to work anywhere, but I'm still kind of always on, and that can be very stressful. So yeah, now I'm definitely looking ahead at freedom from, I guess, my inbox in a way, like freedom from having to be constantly like checking my email. If I need to take a break, if I need to just go out for a walk, not feeling so guilty about it, or just really making sure that I have the supports in place to do that without any kind of major issues happening. I can go anywhere as long as I have my laptop with me, but actually being able to close my laptop and, you know, maybe go on a trip and still feel okay and still feel like, you know, I have clients coming in, I'm making sales and having those things that could basically work for me when I'm not there.
Now we have Istiana Vistari, who is featured on episode number 18, where we talked about how she has turned multiple side hustles into one full income career. At the time, she had never had a 9-to-5 and was very much living the creative version of the freedom lifestyle. YouTuber, singer-songwriter, video producer, you name it. Her and I didn't have time to connect one-on-one, so she sent the cutest audio update for us. Let's hear it.
Hi everyone, my name's Istiana, and it's been 2 years since I last appeared on the Freedom Lifestyle podcast. Since I last chatted with Sam on here, I was a full-time freelancer, had multiple side hustles and businesses, and I just felt like I had hit a plateau of personal and professional growth. I was doing the same thing over and over again. I felt very comfortable. I wasn't pushing myself and learning more, and I wanted to surround myself with smarter people. So I thought, you know, I never thought I would do this, but I'm going to apply for my first full-time role, and I got a job for about a year. I worked with Luxie Hair, the hair extensions company, and it's a brand that I love so much. I love the team. I learned so much about working with people more, collaborating, enjoying that office lifestyle, commuting. But with all my side hustles and businesses going on, the 9-to-5 full-time schedule just wasn't going to work for me. Plus, I'm not a morning person anyways. So I had the 9-to-5 experience under my belt. I got that out of my system. I do not regret getting a full-time job. I learned so much. Glad I did that. But I went back to the freedom lifestyle, and now I'm back to running my media production company full-time. And I still work with Lexi here every week, actually, as a contractor. I produce their YouTube channel. I'm shooting and editing their ads, a lot of the visual content. So it worked out. A couple other fun updates. Since the last 2 years, I became a Much Music creator, which was actually a dream of mine because I grew up watching Much Music after school every day. And last year I joined their roster of social media creatives, and I work with them on special projects and initiatives. Another fun one, I premiered a music video at Buffer Festival at TIFF last fall for a single that I did with my boyfriend Alex, and our single is called Kill My High, which you can listen to on Spotify. And they asked us to premiere a video, which we did not have at the time, so we conceptualized, you know, directed, filmed, shot, edited the video within 2 weeks, which was a very quick amount of time, but it worked out. I got to premiere the video on the big screen. I got to walk the red carpet, which was really weird and cool. And lastly, for updates, I'm the co-founder of Monday Girl, which is an empowering network of women in Toronto, and we support women and their careers. And since I last appeared on the podcast with Sam, we've hosted a number of large-scale sold-out events in Toronto. Just the standout one for me was our Women in Media event at the Bisha Hotel, which had over 150 women, and we featured leading female speakers in the media industry. We partnered with awesome brands, and we had roundtable discussions, and it was so much fun. But now that as COVID-19 has hit, obviously events are no longer a thing, so we've had to kind of pause, stop, and make a lot of changes, a huge pivot. So now we are all digital, and we launched our bi-weekly newsletter, which offers valuable career content, job listings from our curated job board, Toronto recommendations, and next up we have a mentorship program in the works, which I'm excited about. You can learn more or become a member, it's totally free, at mondaygirl.ca. So I do want to be real here, and all of that sounds awesome and gold and glitter and like checking a lot of boxes, which it has been, it's been awesome, but I do want to share some lowlights or learning points that I've experienced. Over the past 2 years, I have really experienced really bad burnout, and I'm definitely a workaholic. My boyfriend and family call me that all the time. I just can't stop working most of the time. I'm kind of addicted, which is definitely not a good thing. But one thing I have learned to do over the past 2 years is say no more gracefully, knowing that I just can't do everything at once. I'm really focusing more on mindfulness and taking breaks and staying present, because I think that's what success really is. It's being able to enjoy your life and all the little moments in between and not miss anything. That's it for my update in a nutshell, and if you'd like to connect with me or learn more about what I do with YouTube or content creation or branding or Monday Girl or whatever it is, you can find me on Instagram at blogistiana, blogistiana. Thank you so much for having me, and enjoy the rest of the episode.
For our fourth interview, we have Christine Liu, who was on episode 38 of the podcast. She was interviewed about her first year of freelance. At the time of our interview, Christine was all about swapping the corporate ladder for climbing mountains around the world and being able to work from anywhere. Let's hear where she's at now. Christine, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Sam, for having me. This is probably one of my favorite podcasts that I've ever been on so far.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Well, no pressure. I've got to make this just as fun for you as last time. Our first interview was actually July 2019. So it's been a year since our first interview, which is ironic because our interview was about what your first year of freelance was. So wow. Now I'm checking in on you 2 years later, basically.
So much has changed. It's unbelievable. But that's why our podcast episode before was so meaningful to me to have as kind of this capsule also to just refer back to and see how far we've come. So I think this episode is just amazing.
You've been very strategic about who that ideal customer is, right? Has that evolved over the last year, or did you always know who you wanted to be serving?
It was hard to navigate because obviously as you're starting out, you just kind of want to take any project that will pay the bills. And that was the goal at the very beginning, so that I could have some sort of sustainability and stability, really, to just make sure that I could make a lifestyle out of this as well. And that's still the goal, to have a lifestyle business at the end of the day. I don't need to necessarily make millions or billions per se, but that time freedom is extremely important to me. Also, I've really stepped into niching into helping more social impact businesses and nonprofits create their bold legacies and really, at the end of the day, drive more funding towards their cause, especially now with the what's going on in the world with the pandemic and the injustice in this world. I think it's really lit a fire in me that I want to be able to help more of these social impact businesses.
So is that a way your business has been impacted in 2020? By everything that's happening in the world?
I think at the beginning of March, when there was a lot of uncertainty in the world, nobody really knew exactly what was going to happen next. And we still don't to a certain extent. But when you find what I'm going to call threats in the world, I think there's so much room for opportunity as well. And so March was a harder month to navigate as a business owner. But I'm thankful that we are able to work from home and to be location independent and to have a roster of clients as well that really do support my lifestyle. And in June, it was the best revenue month that I've had ever as well. I don't say it to brag, but to say more so that you have control of your own success if you choose to just push it that much further and find opportunities to really step into what you want to be doing and how to help others along the way. And there's this great quote by Jerry Rice that I keep coming back to, is that today I will do what others won't so that tomorrow I can accomplish what others can't.
I love that. I'm going to go back to the comment that you made about a lifestyle business. Even going back to our original episode, you talked a lot about your travels and all the places you went as soon as you made that leap and how important that is for you. So what is important for you now in terms of making this a lifestyle business, and what does that mean to you?
That flexibility to travel was definitely, it's still part of a very big piece of why I do what I do. But at the end of the day, I think my health and well-being to really create sustainably is at the forefront. So when I say sustainability too, I just want to clarify that it's also considering not getting burnt out and making sure that you are able to really continue that lifestyle at the end of the day because you are your business. I had a health scare when I started my podcast actually. And so that was another wake-up call for me to just really lean into what is it that I want to be doing and what legacy do I want to create. And that time piece is something that is much more valuable to me than any financial return. And so keeping that in mind, I think that being able to integrate what my business looks like into my life and vice versa is extremely important.
And it could be travel, right? At the beginning, it was more about, oh, I just want to like travel and roam around. And maybe similarly to me, you realize like, hey, that's actually exhausting. I still want to travel, but I'm like even shifting how I think about that.
Exactly. And being able to really just feel my own creativity at the end of the day too, because it's exhausting. Like you mentioned, it is hard to be on 24/7. And as a lifestyle, it can feel like you're constantly tinkering with different ideas, whether you're able to turn it on or off. And being able to just have space, whether that is more time or exploring your hobbies in different ways, or it is travel, then I think it's important to really indulge in all those aspects of your life.
Next up is Jacqueline, who is slash was, I'm going to let her tell you, the founder and CEO of Pressed News, a popular daily email that helps make the news easy to understand and digestible. She was also on season 2, episode 9, which is about how entrepreneurship allows you to achieve your full potential. Jacqueline, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I was so excited when you asked me to share an update, because so much has changed.
So much has changed for you. And I just know like what I see online. I'm sure there's been a ton of stuff even behind the scenes, because our interview was April 2018. So wow. Well over 2 years ago now, which is nuts.
Yeah, that's crazy.
When we were doing our interview, you were full-time at Pressed. How old was the business at that time?
I think it would have been 2 years at that point.
And where are things now?
In January 2020, so it would have been 3.5 years that Pressed was in existence, we were acquired by Daily Hive, which is a Canadian publication that is headquartered in Vancouver, but has a presence in 7 cities across Canada and the US. And part of the acquisition, I went over there as their managing editor.
That is huge. I mean, when you hear my business was acquired, this is what so many companies strive for, right? Like a lot of them want to make that exit and want to have someone to validate that. Was that what it felt like for you?
It was a challenging journey for us because press readers will know this, but we actually had to shut down our operations in November of 2019. But as soon as we shut down, we received three different acquisition offers. And it was hard to feel very excited because I was still coming off of feeling disappointed of having to shut down. So it was certainly a different type of feeling. It was a almost like validation that, oh, we were doing something right. You know, this was a really challenging 3 years, but to receive three acquisition offers was not something that we had expected. So that was really fun / sad but happy journey.
And do you think it's because you weren't exploring that type of revenue model? Like I imagine you were looking to monetize it yourself versus getting acquired. Or did you also explore the idea of a huge media company like Daily Hive buying Pressed and you making a financial return that way?
Yeah, that's a really good point. We actually did not explore an acquisition offer before we shut down. I think by then, as most entrepreneurs will know, it just felt super exhausting to have to ask more people for things and have to get more no's coming at you. And I don't even think it crossed our minds because we wanted to be so much bigger and so much further along that we were, I think at the time, feeling just like really narrow-minded. We didn't even think about looking for an acquisition.
And what has that experience been like going to have a job in a sense, because I was thinking back of our interview and the reason why you left your job, and we titled our episode about living your full potential. You mm-hmm. felt that as an entrepreneur, you got to truly pursue your full potential and see what you were capable of. What has that been like knowing that that's important to you and now moving into this big role?
Yeah, I think moving into Daily Hive, I was really excited about the potential of working at a medium-sized company now that started from the ground up, being able to lead a big team, but also have the support to back you, right? So it's kind of getting a little bit of the best of both worlds and being able to lead like you want to, but then also get the support of a company that's already established. So I was excited for the potential of that. I should say though, I'm like a day in now, I actually resigned from Daily Hive after about 6 months at the company. And I'm, again, living the freedom lifestyle. I'm trying to figure it out. It, you know, to your point about wanting to build my own thing and listen to my own voice, it was really challenging being at a company again.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. And I was an avid Pressed reader. I didn't miss a day for a long time. And so when I heard that news, I was so sad for you. But I also remember saying to you, honestly, it's not going to be long before you're on to your next thing. I just knew it. Like I just knew you were an entrepreneur at your core. Where do you think you get all this courage to take risks in your life? Because this isn't for everybody to do a business, okay, get a job a bit, realizing again, no, this isn't for me. I'm going to go put myself out there again. Where do you think this courage and tolerance for that comes from?
I honestly think we all have it in us. When people say that I'm brave, I always think to myself, am I? Because I'm scared all the time, right? I'm scared of the next move. But my dad really instilled in me, if it scares you, it's probably worth doing. So every time I feel that fear, I think this is excitement. This is that fire that I look for. So when I feel that fear, I actually want to jump in. And so that's probably where it comes from. You know, also having a really supportive family and friends to tell you, like, go for it. You know, I'm here for you no matter what. That really helps too.
I feel like your dad came up in our last interview, which is really sweet. I think he has had a big impact on your business and your career, and that's really sweet. Mm-hmm. You know, not everybody can say that, so go dad.
Yeah, right? Love him.
Since we had our interview, has your definition of what the freedom lifestyle to you means? We talked about pursuing your full potential. We've talked mm-hmm. about being able to call the shots and have ownership. Anything else that comes up when you hear that term now?
It's really to me about being able to be your best. I think all of us are put on this earth with very unique skills and wants and desires. And if you're in a position at a company or on your own, being an entrepreneur, whatever it is, where you can do that, where you can be your best, then that's where you should be. So that's what I'm looking for now. It's, yes, I want to be an entrepreneur. And yes, it gives me that ability to call the shots. But ultimately, I just want to be somewhere where I am appreciated for my skills and where I can wake up and like be my best every day.
Next, we have Christina Parieg, who appeared in a similar style episode to today's. It was called Meet the Girl Bosses of Toronto. And I had 8 mini interviews with female entrepreneurs all in one episode. But honestly, Christina's story could be an entire episode on its own. At the time of our first interview, Christina's side hustle was a magazine called Femme Evolve. Let's hear where she's at now. Christina, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, Sam. Thanks so much for having me again.
Of course. You were part of the Girl Bosses of Toronto podcast, and that was over 2 years ago. Can you believe that?
Yeah, honestly, it's so crazy. I was just thinking about it today when our last interview was, and the place that I was in back then is so different than where I am now. So I'm really glad that we're having this chat and we're doing all these updates.
You were still working, right? You were doing research in science. So why don't we just start with what you were doing then and where things are at right now, and we'll just see where this update goes.
Yeah, for sure. When we did our first interview, I was just working at Sunnybrook. I just started and I was a couple months into the magazine, but I had no idea what was ahead of me or what was going to happen. At the same time, when all that was going on, the magazine was kind of failing. And, you know, I didn't want to accept it at the time. I didn't want to accept that I wasn't in a financially stable place to keep it going. I had no outside funding. I was just paying out of my jobs that I worked. That's how I paid my staff and our entire team. And eventually by September of that year, I realized that it just wasn't sustainable anymore. And a bunch of events just happened that made me realize, okay, I can't keep going. Like my health was really hit too. And, you know, I had to take a break. And that's when I decided to pivot completely. And I've gone into the events world now.
And I imagine things are probably pivoting again, given COVID-19 and events are on pause indefinitely. What has that meant for your business this last couple of months?
Yeah, honestly, when I started out, so it was just a year ago that I announced, okay, I'm going to go do event sponsorship consulting. That's what everyone was asking me for. I was like ready to start this new branch in my business. And honestly, the demand was so crazy. Like I had so many people coming to me asking to help them with their events, to join their event teams. I was pretty much booked out all of 2020. And in my head, I was like, okay, I'm set. You know, like I'm going to hit all of my like business goals for this year. There's nothing to worry about. And then when COVID hit, I still had a little bit of hope that the events would continue because I didn't know it was going to hit us this hard in Canada or even Toronto. And now just seeing how everything's panned out, it's like, wow, it's been a really, really big change. So I had to pivot again. And ironically, what I started talking about and teaching about is how to pivot. So I took all my experiences last year and turned this into a new branch of consulting where I help other businesses go online and keep monetizing even during the pandemic.
The ongoing pivot that has been your life and business. As someone who's had that journey of, you know, things just get settled and all of a sudden you need to change again, is it tempting to go back to a job that in theory would be more stable and secure, or are you pretty committed to this entrepreneurial life?
Yeah. So we actually spoke about this, I think a few months back, and I think I was telling you that I was considering going back, and I actually am. So I'm starting a full-time on Wednesday and I'm interested to see how I'm going to balance it all. I mean, the freedom lifestyle is still, at the end of the day, it's my long-term goal. But I think right now I really do need that stability, especially with how hard COVID has hit and just looking at my long-term goals. Like one of my long-term goals with my partner is to buy a home within the next year. And that's really hard when you're starting out again. You're kind of starting from the ground up, right? So even though I know that my event contracts are starting to pick up again and people are ready to reach out to sponsors and build out those relationships, I still have to be realistic that it's going to take a bit of time.
So you're going to still do that other stuff, but it'll be more of a side hustle again for the interim.
Exactly. Yeah.
Was there any part of you that felt weird associations with it? Like, am I still an entrepreneur? What does this mean? Or are you very confident and secure and that's not like a thing for you?
I think when it was back in January of this year, when I was having this talk with my partner, okay, like we need to get a place and we need to be realistic about timelines. Back then I don't want to call it like an ego, but it is sort of like an ego, right? Like, oh no, how can I go back to full-time work? It's not who I am. I don't fit into the 9-to-5 corporate lifestyle. It was really hard to envision myself going back to that. But now that, you know, COVID has hit, everything has really shifted, and I've seen that there is a lot of instability, I really do want to go back to that full time just for maybe a few years until I can get my business really, really off the ground. And I know that it's 100% stable and just have a consistent income coming in. But emotionally, it was hard. I think I didn't really accept it until after COVID hit. And it's an identity shift as well, right? You have to ask yourself, okay, like you said, who am I if I'm not in my business full time? But I've had a lot of great support. I have a mentor who was a little disappointed at first too, and I have an accountability buddy who was like, why are you doing this? But once I explained the reasoning behind it, they were really, really understanding. And one of my bigger goals too is to have a surgery this year, which is out of the country. So it's also paid out of pocket, and you'd have to have really good coverage for that, which is hard when you're an entrepreneur. So I thought about all of these things and I was like, at this point, I think going back to full-time just makes sense.
And last but definitely not least, we have Lindsay Johnson, who was interviewed on episode 19 of the podcast. She talked about how she has never been employable. She's the founder of The Radical Connector, an online community. She's also a business coach for first-time entrepreneurs. And since her last interview, Lindsay moved across the country and took her business with her. Let's hear what she had to say about that. Lindsay, welcome back to the podcast. I just saw that it's been over 2 years since our first interview.
I know. It is wild how fast time goes.
I know. And the title was You're Not Employable, and that still sticks today. You still have your business full force, right?
100%. I'm even more, actually, it's interesting. I say I'm even more unemployable. And I always think about, as we're in a time of COVID right now, at this particular point in time, and things are all over the place. You know, I think like every entrepreneur, we play with this, well, could I go back to get a job if I had to? And no. No, I really couldn't.
You've actually had a number of big changes that I'm sure have impacted your business. In addition to COVID, you also moved, right? You're now in BC. When I met you, you were in Toronto, going to networking events like all the time. You were everywhere with in-person mm-hmm. stuff. So I'm sure that move out west has really had to shift how you market yourself and find clients. What's that been like?
It's been interesting because, I mean, in the 2 years since we talked, I created an online community that is just really flourishing. And from that has stemmed so many neat opportunities that it has allowed me to work less in real life and more virtually, more online, which of course is the goal. That is that freedom lifestyle of not being, for me anyways, of not being tied to one geographic location. The move's been big. The move's been awesome. But it's also been fun from the perspective of getting to learn the entrepreneurial landscape of a new city, because of course Vancouver and Toronto are two totally different worlds.
In terms of the online stuff, is that where you think your business was always wanting to go? And do you think this move expedited it? Or you're like, okay, well, if I'm going to do it and I'm going to leave, like I really need to get my online stuff and my online offers and my digital products like up and running.
It was more the, because of the way that my business was going, I was able to do this move so seamlessly. Yeah. Because I always knew and had the intention of being virtual and being able to live and work all over the world. And there was a on a personal side, there was sort of extenuating circumstances that required me to make a move and make a decision. And I decided to come back out west. The reason I was able to was because of how I had set up things and was moving to a more virtual business.
I think that's something that people don't talk about enough in terms of this online business world. We really just think about how it can add to our lives and how it can make our lives better. But what happened to you is there was a challenging time in your life, and because your business was online, you were able to fully show up in the way that you would have ideally wanted to, which I'm sure a lot of people in a 9-to-5 having to go in the office, they can't physically be somewhere else.
And I'll tell you, this isn't the first time. I mean, this was, oh gosh, 10, 11, 12 years ago. It was the same kind of thing. I had a primarily sort of global virtual business back then as well. And I at that time was going through a divorce, and I remember thinking, oh my goodness, I am so thankful that I don't have to go into an office every day and that I can control my own schedule and take time off when I need it to deal with what I'm feeling. And, you know, I think when we talk about freedom lifestyle, we talk about online businesses, like you said, I think we look at the potential for revenue, for growth, but we don't always think about what that means in terms of when, you know, ish hits the fan, how we have so much more control over our schedules and our geographic location to tend to the things that we need to tend to in our personal lives.
Totally. You mentioned Vancouver, Toronto being completely different landscapes in terms of business. If you could sum it up, what do you think are the differences between having a business on the East Coast versus the West Coast?
Hustle. So definitely when you look at an East Coast, a Toronto business, there's more hustle. There's way more events. People are more eager to connect. People are quicker to get into action on things. I find out here it's that West Coast vibe. It's more laid back. There's more of an emphasis on lifestyle over revenue. And there's, you know, there's not as much. Also, population is smaller. There's not as much going on. And the conversations are very different. It's more around balance and lifestyle and how we're serving ourselves and serving the world. Where I find in Toronto, it's much more, there's still those elements, of course, but it's much more heavy leaning towards prosperity and finances and goals versus, you know, the woo-woo stuff.
And has that vibe been contagious? Do you find you're doing the woo-woo stuff a bit more than usual?
Literally, it's a little bit of both. Like, I've always got the woo in me. You know, right before you and I hopped on this call, I was just doing my monthly intention setting. It's called Radical Intentions with my community. And I literally take them through a guided visualization meditation. And we pick an affirmation for the month. Like, so there's that outlet for the woo. But then the next time, we'll be talking about revenue streams and client acquisition strategies and marketing. You know what I mean? Copywriting. So it kind of gives me that outlet for both, because I very much am Toronto hustle, revenue streams of fun, you know, get the money, let's do this thing. And then I am also that woo, how am I giving back? How am I having a balanced lifestyle? How am I contributing to a better world? So, you know, I kind of get the best of both worlds.
And for you, you're such a people person. Connection is so important. Is there a relationship that you made over the last year or so that's had a significant impact on either your personal life or your business?
Absolutely. I formed a mastermind with two other women who are actually out here, and we formed a mastermind. And I have always been resistant to masterminds because I always felt like I think that I was with people who weren't at the same place or weren't wanting to go the same direction. And I felt it more of an energy drain than anything. And so I always kind of had this chip on my shoulder around masterminds. And then in talking with one of my friends and just kind of expressing sort of some frustrations I was feeling and some ways I was getting in my own way and being able to see that and feeling frustrated by it, we kind of said, well, why don't we start a mastermind, and invited one more gal to come in. And it has completely changed my feeling of support. And, you know, any entrepreneur and leader out there knows that when you're always on for your community, you need to be able to be off sometimes and have those moments of insecurity and self-doubt and, you know, frustration and stress and be able to really let that out and have people who really hold you so that you can kind of be productive in it, but also just relieve that pressure. And so that has been really important to me as a leader, as a business owner, but also as somebody who doesn't open up that easily to people. Like, it's nice to have people that I can be real with. And even if that in that moment, I'm not at my best self, and be fully supported, it really has made a huge difference.
All right, that's it for episode number 50. Thank you so much for accepting my challenge and listening to the whole thing. Lindsay really appreciates it. And I'm sure you are happy you listened to all 7 updates because they were all so different. And it's really, really, really cool to hear how quickly things can change and how our minds can change and our goals can change and our business can change. So I may have to make this a habit and do these regular check-ins every few years or so. Next week, I'll be back with a solo episode. We have 3 more episodes left in part 1 of season 4. I am giving myself the month of August off to summer and do some stuff, also move across the country. More on that later. So 3 more episodes in July in season 4, and we'll be back in the fall for part 2 of season 4. If you or someone you know has an amazing story about pursuing freedom and questioning normal work culture, I would love to hear it. Shoot me an email, sam@whatsyourfree.com, as I start to think about who should be on the show next. Until then, enjoy your freedom.